السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد In 1969 when I returned from India then at that time for three or four years I was teaching in one of the small towns of northern Natal Moy River extremely cold weather very small Jamaat Khana, very few musallis. But that was the area where we started with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's fazal. So there was a college nearby called Treverton College. At that college, Christian pupils studying different sciences, whatever it was. So now and again they used to invite me to give a talk on what is Islam. In those days they were very much interested in knowing about other religions and faiths, and there was not much of an argument and fight and things that we witness nowadays, or condemnation. They appreciated, even though they may not have accepted, but they appreciated the teachings of Islam if it was explained to them in the manner that it should be explained. Generally our situation is this, that when we talk to a non-Muslim, a Christian or a Jew or someone of some other faith, then the very first thing we do is argue with him with regards to the book that he has got in his hand. That is what we do. That if we're talking to a Christian, straight away we say, in your Bible this is wrong, in your Bible that is wrong, your Bible is changed and altered, and no doubt we know that that is true. But that should not be our starting point. In my experience, what I have noticed is that you talk to a person about Islam. Then after that, if that person questions, why don't you believe in this, or what does Islam say with regards to this, or what is your opinion with regards to the Bible that we have, then you answer the questions with diplomacy, with hikmah, without hiding and concealing the truth. You convey the message. Inshallah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will open that person's heart out if he is not prejudiced and biased, or if he hasn't come with a closed mind, closed shop, and with his sinuses clogged. So at that college, and wallah, this just came to my mind now, this just when we just completed the salat, I was going to speak on Yasin Sharif, continuation. But this came, so I don't hesitate when something comes very strongly. For whatever reason it comes, Allah Ta'ala knows best. So there at the Treverton College, I gave a talk on Islam. And the ayat that I chose was verse 177 of Surah Baqarah. Now of course, in the 10-12 minutes that's left, we can't do justice to this ayat. But there it was almost an hour that, or an hour and a half, where this whole verse was explained. And at the end of the explanation, there were a few questions. And after those few questions, one of the lecturers from that college, he took the address and all the details, and then he accepted Islam. I'm talking about 1970. And he accepted Islam. And when I asked him afterwards, that what is it that made you accept Islam? He said, that very verse which you quoted, when I gave it a serious thought, it was the most beautiful verse that I ever heard in my life. And it definitely cannot be anything else than a divinely revealed verse. Now that person is saying that. So we pass these verses every day, we listen to it and we read it. But yet we don't take any interest in finding out the meaning. And yet these days we have so many commentaries of the Quran Sharif, authentic ones also. So in the few minutes, let us just listen to the translation of this verse, which you have heard on previous occasions, but just to renew our iman, refreshing our iman. That this is the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Last night I mentioned to some brothers here after the Taraweeh that when we listen to the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is like the azmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that shines forth. That Allah Ta'ala, there's no question of any weakness, any helplessness or any shortcoming. Allah Ta'ala's kalam is full of azmat. That there is no concern of what somebody will say or what or any fear or favor, nothing. In Allah Ta'ala's kalam there's nothing but azmat, greatness. You can see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, you can see His azmat. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Ba'da Qada Buzruq Tuhi Qissa Mukhtasar, after Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. But in His kalam you will find that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, with the azmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there is such humility in what He is saying. In Allah Ta'ala's kalam you won't find humility. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say, I'm a very humble person, or Allah Ta'ala must be very humble and polite. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's kalam is full of azmat. At Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's kalam, you can see that the azmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is overshadowing him. And as a result of that overshadowing of Nabi Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azmat, there is such humility in Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's kalam. That you can see he's expressing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala his helplessness, his weakness. Yet Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, there was no weakness and shortcoming. He was the perfect human being. You cannot find anyone more perfect than Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whichever department of life you take, there was nothing but perfection. But yet in Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's life, you will find that all his khutbats, all his speeches, everything, read it. And you will find that first of all, there's great expression of the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then his helplessness, although he was not helpless. But that expression, there is great humility. So you can see in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's kalam, there's that azmat. So in this verse, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came over to Madina Tayyiba, for about 16 to 17 months, he still made the salat in the direction of Masjid Aqsa, Jerusalem. The salat was still made in that direction. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to raise his eyes towards the heavens, and he was very desirous that the Kaaba, that the Qibla should be changed to that in Makkah Sharif, the Kaabatullah. That was his desire. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself mentions that in the Quran Sharif, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Now that's another subject. It is discussed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the early verses of Sayyakul. So and finally the Qibla was changed, that now he must face in the direction of Kaaba Sharif and make Salat. Now this gave great ammunition to the Jews, to the Christians, and to the enemies of Islam. That what kind of Islam is this, that one time you are told must face in this direction, next time you are told face in that direction. Then what about all those people who faced in the direction of Masjid Al-Aqsa and made their Salat? What about their Salat? And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, does He not know beforehand what is the best? That first He must give them one direction and then another direction. Now what do they know about the wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in all these changes? Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now when he started facing and all this criticism arose, so Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala answers that in the early verses, as I said, of Sayyakul. And he even calls them Sufaha, the stupid people, the foolish people. They will ask you why these changes took place. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala after that says that direction is not something which over which you fight and argue and give your life, and consider direction to be about the only teaching which is the foremost and most important in your religion, in your faith. Direction, whether Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala directs you to face this side, the east or west, what is important is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. What you are really being taught is to obey the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That what is the hukam? What is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's order? If Allah Ta'ala says face the east, then it is not the east that is important. It is not the east which is important. What is important is your obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that when He said you face the east, then you face in that direction. When He said you face Masjid al-Aqsa, then you made your namaz in that direction. And now when Allah Ta'ala is ordering that you face the Kaaba Sharif, then again it is not the west, it is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which supersedes everything. The hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is so important, that it is the fulfillment of that hukam which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to see. So whether Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hukam is east or west, now what is the purpose of arguing over that? Why did Allah Ta'ala change it from the east to the west, and why did He do this and why did He do that? If you have believed in Him as your Allah, if you have believed in Him as your Creator, as your Malik, as your Khaliq, and if you have believed in Him as the one whose orders have to be obeyed under all conditions, so then you should not be questioning. The Commander-in-Chief gives an instruction in the battlefield that now turn right, move ahead, retreat. Now if all the soldiers stop there and say, oh Commander-in-Chief, now why are you giving us this instruction, go left and go right and retreat and go forward, that soldier will be booted out. He'll be marshaled, court-martialed. It is his job to obey the Commander-in-Chief's instructions. And he must believe that that Commander-in-Chief has got some wisdom behind these instructions of his. Yet the Commanders-in-Chief of the military and army of this world can make many, many mistakes, and they do make. Now here there is a command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the Supreme Commander. Supreme Commander. And in his hukam and in his order there is no question of any kind of error or mistake or weakness or shortcoming. Whatever is the hukam and order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with regards to any aspect of life, that is the best for the human being on the surface of this earth.